Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Empowerment Zone. My name is Reginald McGlone, and I have here a special guest, Councilwoman Cindy Bass. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's been such a busy day. It's hard to keep up morning, noon, or night, right?
You sound like you've done this before.
Once or twice.
This show is brought to you by My Independence at Home. If you or your loved one are in need of home care, 215-921-2277. That's 215-921-2277. At My Independence at Home, we are hiring. 215-921-2277. CNAs, HHAs, and we'll train you. 215-921-2277. And we have here in studio live, Ms. Lisa.
Good afternoon. Robinson. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I'm so excited to be sitting next to my favorite person, Reggie.
That was funny. I hear that you had a photo shoot today.
I did.
Why? Yes, I'm getting in your business. Yes, yes, yes.
Because I'm being featured in the Business Journal.
Oh, wow.
As a for my time in the service and being a business owner. So
excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. I don't do makeup.
So. You don't?
No.
Oh, it looks stunning.
Thank you. I'm ready to take it off.
No.
Hi, Sandra.
Work that for the day.
She always looks like that.
No, I don't. But welcome to the Empowerment Zone. You want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Cindy Bass. I have the honor and privilege of representing the 8th Council District, which is Philadelphia neighborhoods of Mount Airy, Germantown, Justin Hill, Nicetown, Tioga, part of Olney, part of Logan, part of West Oak Lane, part of Feltonville, and part of North Philadelphia.
And this is my favorite councilwoman. Oh. You know I say that all the time. I'm so excited that you're actually here.
Here in studio. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so this is a different one, I think. The last time, did you come out when we were on Gospel Highway?
Yes.
It was a little tighter.
Yes.
So we have a little more room this time.
That was great. That was great, too.
All right. Mm-hmm. So tell us what is going on in your district and what are some of the things. I know you said that City Hall is open again.
Yes.
And you were asking people to come down and be a part of the process. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned that there were some bills that you're, heading or sponsoring. So what are the most important bills that you believe that the public should know about? And of course, we're going to talk about the elections coming up. And
Oh, yes. So today we introduced three resolutions all around different but very important issues related to the city of Philadelphia. The first, we introduced a resolution asking for the city council to hold hearings on the city's rebuild initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, as you remember, a $500 million program that was supposed to really give a boost to our parks, recreation centers, and playgrounds and libraries. And, my view of rebuild is that it really has not lived up to the expectations. I think a lot of neighborhoods and a lot of people are feeling that, they're just not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, we enacted soda tax to help pay for the debt on the rebuild initiative, and people are paying soda tax. And, there's a little confusion there because people feel like, the soda tax was supposed to
go to education. That's what I thought.
People thought either it was going to the schools directly, that it was, a school initiative, or that it was going to the Department of Parks and Recreation directly, and that it was going to, fund the cost of rebuilding the Parks and Recreation centers. But the fact of the matter is it was designed to pay the debt.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the work done on the playgrounds and rec centers is done through the issuance of bonds, municipal bonds. And so, which is like a loan.
Okay.
And so the debt on that loan, the monthly payment or whatever, is covered through the expense of the soda tax, or the revenue of the soda tax. And so that's how it's paid for. And
can I ask how much revenue are they getting from the soda taxes? Do you have like a ballpark? How much?
You know what? I can give you a more concrete number. For some reason, off the top of my head, I'm thinking $70 million a year or something like that. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Wow.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of soda drinkers.
And, it started out where in the beginning years of the soda tax, it was much higher.
Mm-hmm.
But it has shrunk as people have decided that they don't want to pay the soda mm-hmm. tax.
Because they can just go across the line.
They go across the city lines. Right. They drink mm-hmm. something else. Mm-hmm. They, you know, have made a number of different choices.
Okay.
Yeah.
$70 million. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. That's you could do a lot of money. Playgrounds and rec centers with that. And so so we introduced a resolution today calling for hearings to look further into that. Because, we're just not seeing the amount of money that, you know, we thought was going to be spent mm-hmm. In our neighborhoods. And the second was around the Atwater-Kent collection, which was you remember the Atwater-Kent Museum here in the city of Philadelphia, which closed its doors. The city handed that collection to Drexel University mm-hmm. as a steward of the artwork. And so there were concerns among some in the artist community, because I also represent I'm the chair of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Affairs.
Okay.
And so there were some in the arts and culture community who were greatly concerned that there was not going to be any real stewardship over that collection, mm-hmm. that pieces would go missing, that, you know, pieces would be, you know, at Lisa Robinson's house right. or Cindy, you know, like uh-huh. somebody's house or, right. you know, or personal office space and not on display for the public to see.
Okay.
Which is really what it was intended to do. So, you know, we actually were moving forward on a resolution calling for Drexel University to do the right thing, make sure that there's money allocated to ensure and preserve the collection, and also that there is resources as intended to make sure that the management of the overall collection, not just the maintenance, but the management of the mm-hmm. collection, mm-hmm. that there are resources put behind that so that it's adequately done.
Okay.
And last but not least, we introduced a resolution calling for hearings on the city's mobile crisis units. And those are the units that come out, you know, when we had the Walter Wallace situation where mm-hmm. two police officers responded to the scene. This was someone who was in, you know, was having a mental distress episode. You know, the police were contacted. He was being physically, you know, violent
yes.
towards his family. Mm-hmm. You know, police were called. They responded. And, you know, ultimately, you know, he died as a result
right.
of the interactions mm-hmm. that day. You know, we feel very strongly if there were the right folks who were available to respond to a mental health situation, which would be mental health crisis workers,
okay.
Then there could have been, should have been
a different outcome.
Yes.
So the mobile, what did you say?
Mobile crisis units.
Mobile. So these will be mental health
mm-hmm.
Professionals.
Yes.
Who know how to
de-escalate.
Okay.
There was a article recently in the Sunday Inquirer a couple of weeks ago in which there was a, you know, sort of like a case that was examined
mm-hmm.
when some mobile crisis unit workers went out to, you know, they got a call. There was a family, a young man in distress who was attacking family members
mm-hmm.
and how they were able to go out and de-escalate the situation.
Right.
And to me, in my mind, it sounded very similar to the Walter Wallace situation. Mm-hmm. So it's good that they were able to, you know, respond and have, again,
mental
a positive,
health is a huge yeah. issue. I went to an event yesterday at the new supermarket on Ridge Avenue.
Oh, yes.
I went
the grocery
there.
Outlet.
Yes, the grocery outlet. And Josh Shapiro was there.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke and he was talking about mental health
mm-hmm.
and how our children have, a lot of them have been traumatized
mm-hmm.
by always hearing gunshots, knowing people who have been killed, and they just, you know, it follows them throughout their lives
mm-hmm.
and it really affects them. So those mobile units, they may be great.
They're doing a wonderful job. Shout out to former councilman and former Secretary of Health and Human Services for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, John White Jr., who now runs the consortium, which, you know, handles mobile crisis units. They have mobile crisis units and work on mental health. And mental health first aid, I should say, around these sorts of interactions. And
mm-hmm.
so he's a very valuable resource, and he's doing a great job. So shout out to him.
All right. Now we got to talk about politics.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone. I am Reginald McGlaughan.
I'm Lisa Robinson, founder and CEO of My Independence at Home.
And we have on the line Mr. Yusuf Jackson. Welcome to The Empowerment Zone.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Reggie, Lisa, and Cindy Bass. All right. One of my favorite people.
Well, thank you.
Okay, can you tell us about yourself, Mr. Jackson?
Oh yeah, yeah, sure, sure, sure. Hey, you know, I'm a, you know, I'm actually just a servant, but I'm a father, I'm a husband, you know, I'm a neighbor. You know, I'm a former police officer, retired about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Social advocate. You know, I do a lot of speaking engagements. You know, youth workshops, youth mentor programs, and also, you know, I'm also in ministry as well. I help out my church. I've been in this fight for a police officer for about 25 years.
And which church? Which church?
Vision of Hope Baptist Church.
Vision of Hope Baptist Church. Okay.
Yeah. Now, are you running for office?
Yes, 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 I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm running for City Council, 9th District. And that's what I'm doing.
You need to sound a little more excited there. Come on now.
You know the sales pitch, who you are, what you do, and how people get in contact with you.
So tell us, Mr. Jackson, a little bit about, you talked a little bit about your background, but why are you running for City Council, and what is the most important part of your platform? What do you want? Why do you want people to support you?
Yeah, sure. So let me go back a little bit. You said I need to sound a little bit more excited. I am a little down. Because one of my best friend's daughter just died about 12 hours ago.
Oh,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so it's kind of rough. And she lost her son to gun violence.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so it's a lot going on in our communities, and I really try to be available to my friends and family and my neighbors. And so that's just what I do. I'm always going to be available and just be a helper wherever I can. And just be, you know, and just be like, you know, example of Christ's love to people. So that's what I do. You know, I'm running because I feel as though I have the passion and the grit, you know, for the people. You know, me being in the police department for 25 years and being an investigator and being a researcher, I think those tools really will help will transfer well, you know, to politics and to, you know, and just, you know, being there and being available to the people. I'm like a boots on the ground type guy. I'm always out in the community. I do the prayer walks. You know, neighbors come to me, people come to me. So, you know, I'm about safer communities. I'm about job creation. I think we really need some youth conflict resolution training for our young people. So, you know, a lot of times I do on my workshops, I'm talking to young people. We talk about how to handle peer pressure, how to handle different challenges in life. And one thing that we also talk about is the dangers of porn.
So I want to just interrupt you for 1 second. What... Sure. Would you do to help prevent the gun violence? You're a police officer, you're a pastor. Now, if you become council person, do you have, can you give us an idea of how you handle that?
Yeah, we gotta hit it from different angles. You know, I think one thing that people overlook is job creation, jobs. When people don't have purpose, you know, a lot of times our purpose and our identity is tied into our careers. So a lot of times when you see jail as an option, you know, you're really easy to get involved in activity that will put you there. You know, when you have a purpose and you have a job, you're making a little bit of money and you're feeling good about yourself. A lot of times you don't see jail as an option, you know, as far as your life and as far as your journey in life. So I think job creation is really, really big. I think the community getting more involved. And there was a big movement in our city after George Floyd, you know, where people said defund the police. We don't want police in our neighborhoods. You know, we don't want police. And I think that's unrealistic, because there's a good balance when we have people who are willing to step up and be active in our communities and be present. As far as, like, let's just say, even if we can just put more money and put more training into Town Watch, get people more involved in Town Watches and being in our community. Everyone knows what's going on in their neighborhoods. You know what I mean? We know it. A lot of us, people are scared to speak up. People are afraid for themselves. The violence is really out of hand. But there are people who we need to embrace and make our allies, people like retired cops, veterans, retired, firefighters, people who have been out in the trenches, who have been out and faced and fought against violence, who are not afraid, you know, pull them close. You know, let's figure out who we have in our neighborhoods who we can utilize and use to help combat and get information out.
Listen, this is what I'd like for you to do, because we do have other guests coming on. Can you tell us who you are, what you're running for, and how people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. I'm Yusuf Jackson. I'm running for City Council, 9th District. You can reach me at 215-987-9101. I'm running on education, learning on safer communities, job creation, youth conflict resolution. And also, I think a big plus is we need to really educate returning citizens that they can vote in Pennsylvania. I think people don't, a lot of guys don't know that, who I come across and who I talk to in the communities.
Okay. Thank you so much. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone. I am Reginald McGlone. Lisa's out getting one of our guests out in the lobby. We have here
Councilwoman Cindy Bass.
Okay. And then we have somebody that came late, the mayor. The mayor of a town, and you're coming late.
Good Mayor afternoon, Coffey, everyone.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Can you tell us about yourself?
Yes, I am actually the former mayor of Collingdale, PA.
You're not the mayor anymore?
No.
When did that happen?
November.
Okay.
You weren't paying attention.
I heard that.
Okay.
Yes, but I am very much involved with my community just as much as I was being the mayor. So we have a few things going on in our community.
Okay. And we, your guest is not here as of yet.
Right.
He's, I don't know what building he's,
on,
he's in.
He's on his way.
Okay. He's in the wrong building.
Yes.
Okay. So now, Councilwoman.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on gun violence? Oh, you know what? Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's get Roslyn on the line. Roslyn, welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Quite well.
All right. How are you doing, Councilwoman Bass?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm doing great.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Now, tell us about yourself, Roslyn.
Okay. Well, my name is Roslyn Ross. I am candidate running for the 9th District City Council, which covers 19111, 2024, 263841, and 50. And I am running as a candidate for City Council for the 9th District, because I am a Philadelphia native, born and raised in Philadelphia, down in North Philadelphia, lived in West Oak Lane, Germantown, Mount Airy, for most of my adult life until I got married in 2012, and have returned home to Philadelphia as of last year. And since returning home, with some of the things that I have learned while I was living in the state of Georgia for the past 7 years, I've learned so much about how our local government and local cities are affected through our government. And so I am here as a candidate for the 9th District to bridge the gap between the red and the blue and to help the city of Philadelphia to do better. So that's who I am.
And how can people get in touch with you?
People can reach me right now via email. I am new. This is this special election has come upon me very quickly. It took me a minute to make my decision if I was going to allow myself to be led by the compelling passion that I have for this great city. So right now you can just email me at Rod Ross. That is R as in Robert, O as in Ostrich, S as in Sam, R as in Robert, O as in Ostrich, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, 2122@gmail.com. However, I do plan on having an official launch. It'll be within the next week. And I know we're already in the special election, but I'm not afraid to continue to make some smoke in Philadelphia to introduce myself to the great constituents of the 9th District. So give me about another few days, and I will be doing an official launch, and I'll have some campaign, other ways that people can reach out to me, and my website will be updated and everything.
I thank you very much. We'll have you back when you have that shindig, because I know Lisa and I will probably be there. It's free food, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you already know how we do it.
He's trying to make it seem like I'm greedy. I am not greedy.
Listen, you all know where the food is coming from. So you guys know everything is going to be good and top notch.
The catering truck, when we had the big event.
Victoria's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Yes,
that food was
amazing. Is Lisa on here?
I am. I'm sorry. Yes, I had stepped.
Hi.
Hi,
Lisa.
Hello.
Yes, I'm the catering. Yes, I'm about to switch gears here, Lisa.
Okay.
You know, I was trying to hide some of who I am and some of the passion I have through my catering coordinator and being able to serve this great community in that position has been great. But I am being called by God to serve even in a greater capacity.
Well,
amazing.
And I'm just praying for the opportunity for Philadelphia to receive a native of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. someone that loves this city, that doesn't want to come in to do anything other than what our Councilwoman Parker has already done. She's done a great job in the 9th District, and we're not here to speak against her, but we're just here to continue the great work that she has done and even to bring even more to this city.
Thank you. Thank
well,
you,
congratulations.
Rosalind. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Right. Now, I'm going to give this to you, Councilwoman Bass. Mm-hmm. You could introduce our next guest.
Oh, well, our next guest is a good friend of mine for a very long time. We sort of came up through the ranks together, and I'm just so proud of the work he's doing. We work together all of the time. His office is a wealth of resources and information. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Commissioner Omar Sabir.
Yay!
It's too early in the day to be having me blushing and stuff. Come on, Councilwoman.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, it's great, great. Thanks for having me.
Well, Omar, you tell me, this is what I want to know about voting.
Right.
There's no early voting in Philadelphia. Why is that?
Okay. All right. That was a trick question.
Yeah, right. I'm a tricky guy.
So we can vote early in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. but we don't have early voting. Does that make any sense?
Yes, because I know the answer.
Okay.
Mail-in vote.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But so someone asked me that. Someone's asked to ask that question.
Right. So we don't like to say early voting because early voting requires poll watchers and things of this nature. So when we have our early voting centers, they're satellite locations of the commissioner's office where you could get assistance for your ballots. But one day, I believe our legislator will have early voting, and that'll be with the voting machines, everybody still mm-hmm. having that same option to vote either by mail or in person. So we're working on that legislation as we speak.
So do you believe there's a lot of voter fraud?
No. There's no voting fraud. Well, I shouldn't say absolutely not. I should say there's a 1 in a million chance that it'll happen.
Hmm. Not somebody I know. Or don't want to know, keep saying it's voter fraud.
One out of a million. And the interesting thing about the one chance we do audits, we check them, and then you get prosecuted. So if you're thinking about doing something shiesty, or we're going to audit you, you may get away for a little bit, but we'll audit you. It's a paper trail. We got a paper trail. We have a verifiable paper trail on all our machines. Everything's in paper. So at the end of the day, you may think you're being slick, but at the end of the day, we'll catch you. And again, it's very rare. Again, 1 out of a million. I mean, and that's the nationwide average. Yeah.
Can I just add into, I just saw something recently that said, you know, during the 2020 presidential election, you know, there were all these claims of voter fraud. Mm-hmm. And when they went back and looked, and, you know, the party that lost, you know, they filed all these lawsuits, and all of the lawsuits, with one exception, was struck down. Mm-hmm. All of the lawsuits, it was 60-some lawsuits, and the one that won was inconsequential. So it had absolutely no effect on the election. And actually, that was here in Pennsylvania with a Commonwealth Court judge who was booted out of office right after that because, you know, like people don't have time for this mm-hmm. these kind of shenanigans. Mm-hmm. So,
just to be clear, after that case, it got overturned by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's undefeated. Undefeated.
So what is your job?
Oh, we oversee election functions in Philadelphia County. Philadelphia County is one of the largest counties in the country. 1 million voters. And the majority of those 1 million voters are African-American, Latino, and Asian.
So we do vote.
Oh, we vote. We are the deciding factor mm-hmm. for the president, United mm-hmm. States Senate, governor. Everything comes to Philadelphia. And often, voters don't think that we have power. But I tell you, we have power. We're 1 million strong. Mm-hmm. There's not so many counties in the country that has 1 million voters. We have 1 million registered voters.
But you have 1 million registered voters.
Correct.
Okay. So what about the people that aren't registered? What do you do for them? Or how do you get them to register?
We working. So mm-hmm. so that's 90% of potentially eligible voters are registered.
Okay.
So we're 90% there. And again, you know, we got another small 10%. You know, we're working on those. We're doing school tours. We're doing prison tours. We're doing everything for everyone that's going to listen to get everyone registered.
You know, that myth, we don't vote. All I hear is we don't vote. We don't vote. Mm-hmm. Black males don't vote.
So, right. So The top is African-American women.
That's right.
The top voting bloc across the country. I mean, I think that's almost any demographic, right? Mm-hmm. But then we get to the African-American men, right? So what we're seeing is that a lot of African-American men are starting to vote Republican.
Wow.
So when they're doing their numbers, when they're saying that black men don't vote, a lot of them are starting to vote
They're changing parties.
They're changing parties and voting.
Okay.
That's a shame.
And it's very, well, so this is what's happening in Georgia. The African-American men asked Stacey Abrams to form a plan for African-American men, and she didn't produce the plan. And her opponent came up with a plan. And just I just came back from Congressional Black Caucus, and we're trying to get 1 million men engaged in political process by 2024. But they did focus groups all across our country, and this is African-American men, women. At the end of the day, what they're all saying is that when it's time for election time, like a big presidential, everyone's reaching out, Texas emails, after the election, no one's speaking to them.
Right.
No one has policies and concrete plans designed for black men.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, if nobody's making plans, no one's giving no huge appointments, why would they vote for them?
Right.
That's a question that we had to sort of propose and ask that question. African-American women, okay, you voted. Now we got Supreme Court justices. We got so they're locked in step. But I think we need to speak to the African-American men and ask them for their vote.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to we have a few people on hold. So we're going to bring in Abu Edwards, my very, very, very good friend. Thank you for last minute. I just texted him. I said, can you jump on the show? So, Abu, welcome to the Empowerment Zone, my friend.
Thank you. Good to be back here after all these, a year or two. But
yes.
Glad to hear your voice as well.
So I wanted to have you just, we're talking about the election and voting. So if you could just speak to the importance of voting, the importance of making sure that you're registered, and the importance really of local elections, because as Omar was saying, a lot of people get excited about the huge elections, you know, the presidential elections, and they lose sight of the importance of our local judges, our council people, our state reps. So if you could speak to that, because you're in politics and you're a young, amazingly intelligent black man. And I'd just like you to just give us your thoughts.
Thank you so much, Lisa. So it's an honor, you know, to serve as one of the youngest chairs of the Philadelphia branch NAACP Political Action Committee. And, you know, under my direction with this position, it is my goal and my job to make sure that, you know, we are educating black and brown people all across this city. With the city population of 1.6 million, it's important, you know, that the NAACP do this. What we've been doing for the last year is making sure that, you know, folks in our community knows, you know, the deadlines on when it's registration. We've been doing pop-up voter registration drives all across this city, giving out free wood ices, pretzels, pizzas, you know, to really engage, especially our young people, in the importance of this election, but also the importance of the NAACP Philadelphia chapter, which is one of the largest and oldest chapters in the country. You know, what we understand and what we want to make sure that everybody on this call understands is that in this election, we have the opportunity, you know, to vote, you know, to make this state, continue to make this state a safe state for abortion, and also to make this state, you know, respected when it comes to our voting rights. You know, we can lose both of those, you know, after November 9th if folks decide not to show up and not to go to the polls. Data has showed us, history has showed us, is that these elections and every election in 6 months always result into a few groups of people. And that's our black and brown people, our Latino and our Asian community. These have been the communities who've been saving our democracy, you know, especially black women who've been saving our democracy for the last decade. Because, you know, every election, every 6 months, you guys show up to the polls and you vote because you understand that this matters and this is important.
Mm-hmm.
But for us to really to use the full authority of the NAACP, and I tell people all the time, is that we are only as good and as strong as our members. So as we're fighting and as we're advocating every single day to protect the right to vote, to protect the right to freedom for Black and brown people, we are also charging everyone who can hear under my voice that it is time for all of us to step up and do more. And it's time for all of us to become card-carrying members of our local NAACP chapters, because this is not going to get any easier. Mm-hmm. You know, since 2020, since Black and brown people have came out in record numbers during a global and a pandemic, you know, people thought that that alone was going to turn our family members off, you know, around from the polls. But they wasn't expecting us to show up in record numbers. And since we've been showing up in record numbers, and even though, you know, every 6 months, you know, we may drop in percentages or a few percentages when it comes to our vote, our vote is still more powerful and more important at any given time in every 6 months. So we're asking everybody to make sure that, you know, if you requested your mail-in ballot, that you go to the state website and you track your mail-in ballot, because mm-hmm. we're knowing that there's a lot of disinformation happening. We're seeing that some people are getting mails from, you know, the Philadelphia City Commission's office, which is, we know it's not them, and other different organizations with just wrong information, wrong election data information. So we're asking that if you guys receive any information or any mail to your address that looks suspicious, we are asking that you call the commission's office, you call organizations like the Committee of 70, you call the Philadelphia NAACP office, so that we can start to really address these issues. But because the goal is to make sure that Black and brown people are confused on election day.
Thank you, Abu.
Thank
dropping
you.
Knowledge. I appreciate you popping in. Thank you so much.
And enjoy your day, Abu.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you by My Independence at Home, 215-921-2277. We're going to go with these two calls here, and then we'll do a roundtable. How's that?
Sounds good.
Sheila, welcome to the Empower Me Zone.
Hi, how are you doing today, Reggie?
I'm fine.
It's wonderful, and I thank you so much for taking my call. I had the opportunity to speak with you last week, and I wanted to tell you thank you, because today we are having our first day of training. We started off with Unite here. First of all, let me say that, and we are the hospitality union here in Philadelphia, made up the hotels, the casinos, and the restaurants. So we are very much on these doors and on the turf to get the information out and to beseech people to vote, because we know that our vote is power and that is our voice. So I was on last week, and thanks to you, we had many people call in that started with us today to get the word out, but also at the same time to be paid. So we start off with the Mighty Eight, and that was in March. We went to like 20-some doors, and now we're at, last week we're at 100, and now we're at 200, hoping to add another 100 in. It is a paid position, Reggie. You're getting paid $18 an hour with a guaranteed of 5 hours overtime. But what we do, I think, that is unique is that we meet people where they're at. When they open their doors to talk to us, they're looking in a mirror, and the things that are important to us are important to them. I'm sure, as you know, and many of your audience members know, that Philadelphia itself will have the opportunity for 500 some thousand votes, but we do not want the same thing to happen that happened in 2016 when we woke up sick because Trump won. And the worst thing about it was he won by less than 1%. And even worse than that, is 240-some thousand registered Democrats in Philadelphia did not vote. So what Unite Here did, we ran an aggressive campaign in 2020, and we took back Philadelphia. And how did we do that? We did that by day one. We started off with knocking on 577 doors, and by 31 days, we had knocked at 313,000 doors. And we had identified in 2020, out of the voters that we got to vote, 35,000 did not vote in 2016. And that's what we're hoping to do again. And like I said, we do this. We're all through the city. We will try to go to some of the suburbs and flip our house. But primarily we're in the city, and we're doing this with the majority of Black and brown people and women. And we're from all over the state that came in today, all over the state. And also what's empowering is the opportunity for our people here to get jobs. And when we're done, we still have jobs for them because we will enroll them in our hospitality academy, which the training is absolutely free. It is not paid, but the training will be free. But they're guaranteed a union job when they're done. And that's so important. Union job means putting money into the community, giving confidence. And a union job means one job is enough where people don't have to work three and four jobs to be away from their family. Just right quick, I'd like her just to speak for two few minutes. We have one of our workers here that started off. Her name is Tiffany Davis. Tiffany, say hi.
Hello.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany. So we're kind of running short on time, so I apologize. We can give you like maybe 30 seconds to speak to your experience, okay?
Yes. Okay. Well, my name is Tiffany Davis. I've been working in the Philadelphia sports complex. I'm 6 years in.
Okay.
I started in March. In May, I became a lead. And, you know, now we're just sitting up here fighting for our rights on the doors. And for the last day, for it to register to vote before the general election is October 24th, 2020. And the last day to apply for a mail-in ballot or absentee ballot is November the 1st, 2020. So we're just making sure everybody get, 2022, sorry. Just making sure everybody get out there and vote. And then, so by November the 8th, the election come, we hope everybody get their mail-in ballots in and we'll be able to go through with this.
All right. Thank you.
We'll give you 10 seconds. We have to say this. We found out that we're 3-1 to win by vote by mail. So we have been really, really pushing vote by mail.
Mm-hmm.
If you get that vote by mail, turn it in immediately. Make sure that you fill in all the bubbles, you put it in the envelope, you seal it, and then you send it off. And by all means, please contact us. If you would like a job with us, please call us. It's important. And you can just call 215-519-8626, 215-519-8626, or text that number and someone will contact you. We will be starting people next week.
All right. Thank you. Yep. I'm sorry, Sheila. We have other guests on the line and we're kind of running up on it. So thank you for calling in. Congratulations, Tiffany. And we're going to take the next call. All right. You're very welcome, ladies.
Anthony, welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Hi. Good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Anthony, can you tell us who you are, excuse me, who you are, what position you're trying to win, and how people can get in touch with you?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Anthony Phillips, and I'm the Democratic nominee for Philadelphia 9th District City Council. I am a product of North Philadelphia who moved to Mount Airy at the age of 8 years old. My grandmother raised me. My mother was my grandmother was my second parent. My mother was my first parent. Both of them had this understanding of the importance of investing in children. They sacrificed and made compassionate work for them. And so ultimately, I real quickly led a life where I have done a lot of work investing in young people to become leaders in their communities, as well as helping them go to college and get jobs after high school and live productive lives. Ultimately decided to run for city council because I believe that young people needed to have a greater investment in their lives, and that I will use the platform of city council to do more for youth here in the city of Philadelphia.
Okay, this is what I would like to do, Anthony, because we're behind time.
Yeah.
I want to give you some time next week to come back on. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's do that.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you.
All right. Visit PhyllisForPhilly.com.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone. Excuse me. My name is Reginald McLaughlin, and we have all these guests here. Now, we have Omar and we have Councilwoman Bass. You guys can sit down and just talk a little about voting. And we all. Nope, not yet. Okay. Yes, we have. Anyway, this is the Empowerment Zone. I'm Reggie McLaughlin. If you or your loved one are in need of home care, 215-921-2277, 215-921-2277. Okay. You have anything else to add to this, Councilwoman?
Well, just the importance of voting. I want to say real quick, and I know we're going to do a roundtable, but, you know, one of the things that the commissioner mentioned is about what was happening in Georgia, and particularly African-American men voting in higher numbers than expected. Not really high numbers, but it, really any vote we don't want to lose. You know, when we talk about issues in our community. But, you know, we had a rally last week on Shelton Avenue with Josh Shapiro, our Democratic nominee for governor. And it was great to see him out and about in the community. But one of the things that I said and that I really hold firmly to is that the participation and the support and the translation to the movement of our communities is really just non-existent. And so we don't see the level of dedication among some of our elected officials once, you know, once they achieve those higher heights. And it feels like we get left behind. Our communities are left behind. Our communities aren't looking the way they should look and are growing the way they should grow based on the level of support that we provided and the voting that we have done over the years. So one of the things that myself and I know other elected officials are really pushing is, you know, like, listen, don't forget about any of us. Don't forget about our communities. You know, when we back you, we're going to hold you accountable. And we want to make sure that resources are coming back to our neighborhoods. So that's all very important. And I know, Commissioner, you just did a rally the other day, yes. A press conference. I'm sorry I wasn't able to make it, but I did follow it on social media, which I, you know, I'm very supportive of that effort around returning citizens and making sure that they know about their rights to vote. There was something that just happened in Florida where DeSantis just sent around and arrested some, primarily African-American, I think it may be Latino voters who voted, who were returning citizens. And so I don't know if you wanted to
mention
that.
Well, I just want to be clear, right? What happened in Florida is not happening in Pennsylvania.
That's right. Mm.
We have one of the most liberal voting rights laws when it comes to ex-offenders, but we can do a lot better. And just so the rules, just so everyone knows that once you leave your incarceration, once your feet hit the streets, you can compete. Once you leave your conviction, you're eligible. It doesn't matter what you were convicted of. Once you are free, you can vote. And you can even vote while you're incarcerated.
We talked about this on the last week on the show because that was my question. Because the misnomer is if you have a record, you can't vote. And they kind of stripped your rights away from you. So I'm glad that you touched on that so that people understand that once you are free, you can vote.
Right. But you could even vote even while you're incarcerated.
While you're in jail or while you're in prison?
While you're in jail.
While you're in jail.
As long as you're not convicted of a felony. If you're convicted of a misdemeanor, then you can still vote. You can apply for a vote by mail ballot. We'll mail you out a ballot to the prison and then mail it right back in.
Okay.
So that option is there for people. But when we talked about earlier about the reforms, there should be voting machines at the jails. Mm. So we're working out the logistics and state law. They haven't updated our state law since about 1922 in regards with elections. Well, so there's a lot of reform that needs to be made, but we need voting machines.
Well, what's the percentage of black men in Pennsylvania in jails?
I don't know.
I guarantee you the majority of the prisoners in jail are black men.
Oh, you said the percentage. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, disproportionately, yes,
right.
Across our country. Yes.
So,
right.
So for them, I can't see them being in support of putting voting machines in there because then they're helping them exercise this right? So then you're going to have a whole bunch of black men that are able to vote. They don't want them to vote. So it would be great if they did do that. And I don't know, maybe if when Governor Shapiro, I call him Governor, I put it out there, comes in, that might be something that he's thinking about. But what's your opinion? Do you really think that?
So this is above Governor Shapiro's pay grade, right? I mean, he will be governor, but the actual legislator has to make a change to do that. And we're going to call on people to do that. It may actually come to maybe a lawsuit from the prisoners.
Okay.
But they make that lawsuit saying that their voting rights are infringed. Because if you're if you're in jail and you haven't been to jail yet, I mean, I'm sorry, you haven't been to court yet. You're innocent until proven guilty. So why should we impede your voting rights?
Right.
So it may come from them actually making a lawsuit and then let the PA Supreme Court weigh in. So again, we're taking all kinds of suggestions because that's the way how the voting rights got restored. It happened through the courts.
Right.
So Jerry Montessori got arrested, so Malik Aziz. They filed in court and they sued to actually get the voting rights back for felons once they were released. So, again, it may have to come that way. We have to really put our heads together and really make this an issue. But the initiative is you are not forgotten.
Right.
And if we care enough about it, it's going to change. We have to build the enthusiasm up about our rights. And there's nothing wrong with us doing that, whether it's funding free voting rights for prisoners, funding for our playgrounds, you know, proper support from law enforcement officers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a right to do that. We're tax-paying citizens, and we have the power. And that's what we have to kind of build around our elections, is the enthusiasm that it's our right to do it. We're tax-paying citizens.
Right.
Yes, and not whether or not, the question is not, are we going to vote or not vote? The question is, okay, this person didn't do what we wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Vote them out.
Right.
And we're going to bring somebody else in.
That's right.
You got to do what we need you to do, or you're not going to be here.
That's right.
All right. Well, I want to introduce our next in-studio guest. His name is Khalil Edwards, and you're the state organizing manager for Black Votes Matter Fund, correct?
Yes, Black Voters Matter.
Black Voters Matter. Okay. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the organization?
Yes. My name is Khalil Edwards, born and raised in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And at Black Voters Matter, we believe a strategic way to build power in communities is through voting. I go through all the way in every county in Pennsylvania, in every Black community, just looking for grassroots organizations to support. We have a coalition of over 115 grassroots organizations that's out there liberating Black folks as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Not just with voting, but issues that impact us 365 a year, 365 days a year, such as gun violence, healthcare, education expansion. And we give them the resources they may need to advocate to come up with long-term and short-term solutions for those issues that's impacting us every year. I mean, we understand that November 8th is the election, and folks in these Black communities have been trying to have these conversations all year around gun violence and, and health care and education. But these conversations, haven't been had. They fall on deaf ears.
Right.
But now that election come around, these candidates out there looking for votes, it's time to bring these conversations to the forefront and find those champions that have long-term and short-term solutions that deal with some of the issues that's impacting us every day. And as Black Voters Matter and my job, I go in different communities, and we try not to take lead. We try to support those grassroots organizations already in those cities, already in those communities, because they know frontline what issues that's impacting those folks. But just giving them the resources, such as funding to hire phone bankers and do canvassing to build capacity within the organization.
How long has this organization been around?
Since 2019.
Okay.
Started in Atlanta, Georgia, and now we're in about 28 different states.
Nice. I like to see young, powerful, smart Black men doing good things. You know, the news is always so negative. Mm-hmm. So it's refreshing to see you. So congratulations on all the work that you're doing. Do you work with Councilwoman Bass at all?
I have.
Okay. And what about?
Yes, I work hand in hand with that man every day.
Every day.
We got to do what we got to do to get these votes out. Yeah. You know, I have some organizations that have thrown voter registration house parties, you know, just to target, you know, younger kids, first-time voters. And then, you know, when you're talking to folks in these communities, they think their voices don't matter. You know, we in there to clean up the messaging around voting, understanding that allows them, that allows and helps us to get better investment in our communities if you do come out and vote. And like I was talking to Commissioner Omar Saber, he said, you know, a good thing to say, if a lot of folks don't want to vote, won't you come answer those ballot questions? You know, it just might be about the ballot questions if you don't like some of the candidates, but exercise your right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he said, it's over 2,500 people on state road that can vote now. And imagine if they could vote for the judges that's seeing these cases. I mean, that's real power. That's rights that we fought for the past. So just putting these issues that we're dealing with at the front line while we're at the polls come November 8th.
And real quick, come on. You didn't tell them who your brother is, man. When you're talking about yourself, man, who's your brother?
Abu Edwards.
You look like Abu. Where's my phone? I need to text him.
We only have 10 minutes.
That's my younger brother.
He was here.
Really?
He was just on the show.
He was on the show.
Wow.
That's his brother.
We're both really busy folks.
You look like him.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone. Excuse me, my name is Reggie McGlone. Lisa, go on for there. My voice is getting hoarse.
And this is Lisa Robinson, founder and CEO of My Independence at Home.
Councilwoman Cindy Bass, 8th District.
Commissioner Omar Saber.
Khalil Edwards, Pennsylvania Organizer Manager for Black Voters Matter.
This is the most people we've ever had at one time. But
this
was
great.
It's good. It's a powerful show. Get the vote out.
So can we real quick just go over the dates? The last day for registration.
The last date is October 24th. It's Monday. Mm-hmm. We have one more weekend. October 24th at 11:59 p.m. is the deadline. You can get registered online. The County Board of Elections will be open until midnight, accepting voter registration form, the paper forms.
Mm-hmm.
November the 1st at 5 p.m. Sharp. You have to have your application if you want to vote by mail. And the deadline for that, for you to return your completed vote by mail ballot, is November the 8th, 8 p.m. sharp. You cannot take any postmarks. It cannot come at 8:01. It has to be at that time or we cannot accept it. And the polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. We'll have 708 polling locations open in person for everyone to vote. And please sign and date your declaration envelope where you turn your ballot and put your ballot in the blue secrecy envelope.
And election day is, Councilwoman Bass?
That is Tuesday, November 8th.
And when do the polls open?
7 a.m.
And when do they close?
8 p.m.
All right.
Now, if you are in line before 8 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. You're going to
they
be
have
able
to
vote.
Allow you to vote.
They have to allow you to vote. And if you are in any part of the city, and
mm-hmm.
you always can vote provisionally, too. And a lot of people don't understand that.
What is that?
Okay, so let's just say you live in South Philly. You go to work. You say, I'm going to vote when I get off work.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say you're getting overtime. And let's say you work in the far northeast. And you get off at 7:45. You're not going to be back at your polling location by 8 p.m. You can request at any polling location a provisional ballot, and you can vote. And it's basically the same ballot as about mail-in ballot.
Okay.
You go to the election board. You say, I want to vote provisionally.
Okay.
I don't normally vote here, but I want to vote provisionally. They'll give you the provisional ballot, and you can vote, and your vote get counted just like any other vote.
Okay.
Councilwoman, why should people vote?
Oh. Listen, government is in your life from the first day you come on this earth to the last day, from your birth certificate to your death certificate and everything in between.
Mm.
And so if we don't vote, someone else is making critical decisions for us. They're making decisions about programs and services that are coming into our community that they would prefer to have in their communities.
Mm-hmm.
They're making decisions about, who will make decisions overall in terms of judicial candidates, who's going to be on the bench, who's going to be hearing cases when, young people of color, particularly African-American men, Latino men are standing in front of them. They're going to be making decisions about what's going to happen. I can tell you I haven't been up to SCI Phoenix, but I've been to Greaterford many times. And I can tell you when you go on the inside and you look down those rows and rows and rows, and see, just so many black, it's like a city.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a city of black and brown men. And it's so jarring. And people, so many people get there from the system that we have in place that really needs to be disrupted. We need to vote because we need to elect disruptors, people who are going to change what's happening in our community. And that's the only way that we're going to get things done. I asked Josh Shapiro, when we elect him as governor, and I believe he's going to be our governor, but we need him to be a disruptor in terms of what's happening in our communities and neighborhoods.
And Khalil, why should black men vote?
It's a stereotype that we don't vote. I mean, we hold our aggression in a lot. I talk mm-hmm. to a lot of guys that's mad at the mayor, mad at city council members, and you can't hold these guys accountable by busting their windows or running. You know, you have to come out November 8th and hold mm-hmm. these folks accountable, the ones that you believe in. You know, the ones that you have faith in to come up with long-term and short-term solutions. And this is what men step up to protect their families and protect their children who can't vote at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So safety is definitely on the line.
Is there any people who cannot get to the poll on, there's any rides to the polls? Or do they have to just not vote?
We provide rides to the poll in our ward. And actually anywhere in the 8th Council District. So any of the neighborhoods I mentioned before, if you need a ride, please contact our office. We'll have a nonpartisan, program service provide a ride to you, not Democrat, not Republican, but someone who's interested in voter turnout and voter participation. We'll have someone pick you up. So if you live in Germantown, Mount Airy, Chestnut Hill, Nicetown, Logan, Alleny, West Oak Lane, Feltonville, and North Philadelphia, we'll make sure you get to the poll.
How can you find
the poll?
And plus,
to add to that, the Philadelphia Black Clergy, they're offering rides as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to contact your church. And let's make a plan. If you know you
right.
need a ride to the pool, let's
right.
start having those conversations now.
And talk to your neighbors.
Talk to your neighbors, family,
you know,
and friends,
your,
and say, if you need
your
a ride.
Elderly yeah. neighbors, yes. do you need a ride?
Mm-hmm.
My Independence at Home is going to offer rides to the pools as well
excellent.
For a lot of our participants
yeah.
That can't get around. So This was a great show, and I truly appreciate each and every one of you for coming in and just pouring into our community. This election is real, and it's serious, and we have to get the right people in those seats, or we're going to be in trouble.
Well, so. That's part of it, right? But when I tell people to vote, vote for yourself, vote for your community.
Mm-hmm.
It's larger than just the candidates that's running.
Mm-hmm.
When we vote, we're going to get the accountability from any Democrat and a Republican. Once they see that we're willing to vote and we're going to do it, they're going to give you all the resources that you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
How can you find the polling place?
Go right to our website, philadelphiavotes.com. You can check your registration. You can check your polling location. You can put your name, your address in, and it'll pop right up. Or you can call our office at 215-686-3462. We'll go over. We'll show
you. Can you repeat that number?
215-686-3462.
Right. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed by the best and destined for success. It's up to us to do our best to make this world a better place for everyone. There's nothing to it but to do it. And once we do it, vote.
Ain't no stopping us now. Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the week.